It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, before we get Greenberg on the phone, B, have you seen the play from the women's rugby?
No.
Yo, so the U.S. women won the bronze medal, I believe.
Okay.
You know, so rugby's kind of like soccer, that it goes to extra time at the end. Mm-hmm. This is my interpretation of it. I hope I'm not wildly wrong.
You're probably messing this up.
I believe I have it, at least in this one. This young woman went 95 yards after the buzzer to win it. It's wild. Maybe Greenberg saw
good stuff there.
Our friend Neil Greenberg joins us now. You can follow him at N Greenberg, sports writer and stats geek, not nerd, for the Washington Post. What up, Greenberg? How are you, buddy?
I'm doing super. How are you?
Did you see the rugby play I was talking about?
Yes, I did. And I don't really understand rugby, but I do understand explosive plays, and that was definitely one of them.
It was wild. I'm going to have to I'll play it for you in the break, B. Greenberg, how are you, dude? Like, where is your incredibly brilliant yet very scatterbrained mind right now in a world with the trade deadline, the Olympics kind of take over, even though it's a whole bunch of sports we don't really watch, and football heating up?
Yeah, I'm squarely in football. I'm working on a lot of fantasy football and NFL content right now. It takes a lot of like data collection and just analysis to try to figure out what direction I'm going to go this year. But starting, I believe, next week, we'll start to have the first of our fantasy football stuff dropping. And I'm also working on some video stuff. I'll be putting out some videos on sports betting and football and fantasy football. So I'm keeping busy behind the scenes, and we'll just have our own explosive plays of output over the next couple of weeks.
What is your early research telling you, maybe league-wide?
You mean for fantasy football?
Yeah.
I think running backs are going to be key early in the fantasy draft. I know there's a lot of people out there saying, go wide receiver heavy and point per reception leagues, but I'm actually going to be advocating a running back heavy early picks, maybe running back during the first two rounds, because the amount of running backs that get a lion's share of the carries dwindles so fast. And then after that, it just becomes, a crapshoot of who gets injured, who actually realizes the upside, et cetera. We're in a passing league, so there's plenty of good wide receivers to fill out your rosters, from the third to fifth, sixth round. So that's kind of where I'm leaning right now.
I mean, dude, let's just try to, the three of us, name who are real bell cow running backs still in the NFL. Maybe Henry in Baltimore.
If he stays healthy, right? Christian McCaffrey.
McCaffrey, Henry, you go up to Green Bay
maybe
now.
Maybe Barkley.
Barkley, maybe.
Saquon, yeah.
Maybe Breece Hall if he's healthy.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of maybes. Bijan Robinson.
But that's the point, right? Like, you need the number one pick will probably be Christian McCaffrey. That takes one off the board for sure. And then you just have to hope, Bijan Robinson, Breece Hall, Gibbs, Taylor, Barkley. Maybe a rookie. You really have to have to pick your spot. And for me, it's much easier at the beginning of the year to figure out who the top running backs are going to be. And then the wide receivers. There's so many good young wide receivers. We're obviously in a passing league. There's more three wide receiver sets now. It's just I think it's easier to get contributors, but the fall off of the running back position is just so quick and so severe. I do think my controversial take this year is going to be running back early.
Ooh, I like it.
I believe that some teams are going to utilize their running backs tremendously this year.
Well, yeah, that's the other thing too, right? Like the dual threat quarterbacks in particular are fantasy gold. You know, and then there'll always be some vultures out there that get goal line carries, and you can probably figure out who those are for late in the draft. But yeah, I mean, the running back is gravitating towards, you know, being the being able to catch passes and run the ball, and you know, for fantasy purposes, that works out to something really good.
I also know a big-eared fellow that likes to zig when the world zags. So if everybody's so focused on one thing, I'd prefer to be on the other side of that thing.
Okay.
Talking with our friend Neil Greenberg here on the BetQL guest line. Sports betting has come to the DMV. Don't place that first bet without checking with BetQL. Check them out, BetQL app or BetQL.com. I don't believe I've seen you at training camp. That doesn't mean you haven't been absorbing the information. How do you feel about the Washington Commanders now that they are a full week into their season, technically?
I mean, I feel as good as I did before. You know, you have Jaden Daniels on track, right? Like, there's nothing that he's done to say that, you know, there's any cause for concern. I do believe he's the linchpin for a lot of this stuff, because if he's anywhere near good, chances are the Commanders' outlook becomes a lot more optimistic. But I think it's good. I just think that, you know, it's there's a lot of positives. And when I'm looking at training camp, I do tend to put more weight on the positives than the negatives, because you don't really know, you know, who's nursing an injury, who's taking it easy, who's, you know, doing something that might just be out of the norm for the preseason and training camp. So I've liked what I've seen. You know, I've been on the show. I've been optimistic about this team pretty much throughout. I think everything's going the way that it should be going for a team with so many new parts and so many new places. And, you know, I'm curious to see how it all starts to pan out once we see some preseason games.
You know, I keep saying, like, if offensive line – if they improve, then like we said, if Jaden hits, then he can hit. If they don't improve, then it's going to be hard for him to hit like you want him to if he's not getting the protection. You agree with that?
I do, and I think that there's a lot. You know, I think right now the way to look at the season is how does Jaden Daniels progress? Like that to me is like the key storyline throughout this whole thing. And like you said, it has to do with the offensive line, which can be upgraded later and can be changed, et cetera. But if he seems to be playing well and that question gets answered, then I do think it's safe to say, all right, well, can this team contend for the playoffs? Like that's, to me, the next logical step with what we're doing. And if all that comes out of the season is Jaden Daniels plays really well and you know, looks like he can be the guy going forward, I think it's a massive win for the organization no matter what the record is. But if he does play well, I mean, those two things are correlated. But, yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see not only how he performs but also what are the next steps to build this team into a contender. Is it upgrading the offensive line? Is it getting another pass catcher? You know, if all these new parts don't pan out, like what does the defense look like, et cetera? I think you're exactly right. Like we have to start looking at quarterback first and then all the components that go around that, you know, how and when should we start to upgrade those aspects of the team?
How much do you think the Jets practice? What's more important, you think, the practice or the game?
The practice? We're talking about practice?
Yes, but only comparing it to preseason games.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important when you have Aaron Rodgers coming off an injury, you know, trying to get chemistry with the offense. You know, I think you want to see good stuff happening, and if stuff happens that aren't so good, that isn't so good, then that's what the preseason and training camp's for, right? It's to correct those issues so that you're able to go into the regular season on much stronger footing. So I want to see, you know, from a just from like a game perspective, Aaron Rodgers is, you know, playing well. I don't know if he's going to be playing well. You certainly don't want to be, you know, in the news for a temper tantrum as opposed to, you know, making a huge play down the field and everything looks great.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I mean, the preseason is exactly just to kind of work the bugs out and be ready for the regular season.
I'm with you there. I think it's going to be really fascinating to see Aaron Rodgers in kind of everything he has going on. That Jets team could be pretty damn loaded, honestly. If
it could be.
You never know. Like, we don't know what Washington's going to be.
We've seen crazy mess up with teams before.
Totally. But as crazy as he's been, and he's been crazy for a while, he's largely still been very good.
Yeah, I mean, he's been very good, but he's had a lot less success than we expect him to have as an overall
playoff
team.
Success.
He's looked great as an individual and getting all the stats he can get, but he's made mistakes in great moments for his team. So he's going out to, like, Pat. Pat has great talent. Seems to come through at the end for his team most times.
I'm also looking forward to how he deals with everything that comes with playing for a New York team, right? Like, you want to have a temper tantrum and you produce, like, the fans are going to back you up. You want to have a temper tantrum and things aren't going well, like, they are going to rip into you.
I think it's even worse
for someone
after missing last year.
Seems to be needled a little bit about, you know, outside influences. I'm curious to see how that dynamic works out. But like you said, I mean, individually, he's great. Can he be a part of something bigger than himself? Because this Jets team, like you said, is looking very good on paper. A lot of people are picking them as kind of like a dark horse division winner mm-hmm. in the AFC East. You know, he would have to be a big part of that in order for that to happen. It's a great little storyline to be watching for this upcoming year.
Well, I think some of the honeymoon. I think when the Jets first traded for Rodgers, it was like, oh my God, Jets fans are through the roof, right? But I think some of that now, after he missed all that time, but kind of like held him hostage saying he might come back, and there was just all the stuff that started coming out, like the vice presidential stuff and missing minicamp and ayahuasca and whatever else. I think some Jets fans, unless he balls out early, are going to kind of be over it right away.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the train wreck I'm here for.
Like, you and everybody else. That's radio gold right there,
like,
baby.
But that's my point. Like, playing in New York, you know, especially, like, you – and I know he played in Green Bay and is a rabid fan base. I get that. But that rabid fan base was in love with Aaron Rodgers. Like, the fan base he's going to now, like you said, is more of like, okay, we know what you did, but what have you done for us lately?
There you go.
And if it ain't good – then he's going to hear about it all the time. He's going to hear about it in press conferences. He's going to hear about it on sports radio. He's going to hear about it every single day because it's such a major market and such vocal fans. You know, he is not going to be able to get away from the criticism if it doesn't work well on the field.
Yeah, Philadelphia is just like New York.
That's right.
Hey, believe me, where he was in Green Bay, those people don't have they don't have anywhere close to an attitude as those people on the East Coast do.
I also think the way Green Bay reporters largely cover the Packers is just like as an open supporter of the team. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think the difference is I think the difference from Green Bay to just a normal major market, Green Bay to Tampa, would be significantly different.
Yeah, it's a community team, and it's a public team, right? Like, people,
yeah.
Like, fans actually own a stake in the team itself. So that's just a very different dynamic than, you know, some of these other major sports towns that we know about.
Hey, let's switch it to baseball real quick. Nats traded away Lane Thomas, but the big piece that a lot of people were waiting to get traded, Kyle Finnegan, never happened. How do you feel Riz did at this trade deadline?
I'm always a fan of, you know, doing what you can and getting the best possible deal, and that includes not moving a piece if you don't feel like you're getting the right thing. I think, you know, Rizzo has done a really good job as the steward of this franchise. Even, you know, the World Series, you know, put aside for a second. I mean, you know, he's shown that he can build a team to win the championship, but also retool a team and then become get ahead of schedule, right? Because I do think that the Nats are probably slightly ahead of schedule. I think it's fine. I mean, closers are they're not a dime a dozen, but you can create good closers for the game, right? Like, you can create a guy that can come in the ninth inning as long as he throws hard and can be accurate. Like, you can create another closer to get the saves. But you know, the fact that they're keeping a guy that they like and or didn't have a good deal for him, I think that you know, that's good. And you know, Rizzo checked a lot of boxes for the trade deadline, getting, you know, more minor league system prospects and, you know, getting some players that can maybe help a little bit this year. So I think he's done a really good job with the franchise overall, and especially at the trade deadline.
I've been keeping the same mindset. Long as whatever Rizzo does, I'm going to follow. If he does, if he trades, okay. If he doesn't, it wasn't worth it.
I also think that there's this asinine thought that, like, people are comparing. I've heard or maybe seen this online that people are like comparing the Lane Thomas trade and the decision to trade away Candelario last year or whatever to the Soto trade, and I think that's just so freaking stupid. They were right to trade Soto, but only because they knew ownership wouldn't pay for him, and there was like example after example after example with Turner, Scherzer.
Rendon,
mm-hmm. Harper, all of it, right? Like, they were forced to trade.
Look at the haul they got for him,
right?
Without doubt, he made a great trade.
Right.
I think
they were forced to do that, and all the decisions.
Everybody knowing that you had to trade this guy,
right?
Like, getting what you did get for him was a masterstroke. And I think the biggest piece that people miss is, like, we have no idea if there was a market for a particular player or what that market was. And like I said, I think Rizzo deserves the benefit of the doubt. He's done a really good job being the GM of the Nationals. You know, you can quibble with some stuff here and there, but his overall arc has been one of a lot of success. And if he says there was no market for the closer, then, you know, or you didn't like the market, then I trust him at this point.
Yeah, or the market wasn't good enough. Right. Hey, Greenberg, how does it feel to be the warm-up hitter for Johnny Damon?
I am honored. I mean, you know, as a guy that I watch get on base all the time, hopefully I did him justice and set the table for him so he can drive me in.
I'll drive you on home.
No pressure, Damon. And it's fine what you did to my fantasy baseball team those years ago. I'm not bitter, but
thank you, Neil.
No pressure.
Thanks, dude.
Love you guys. Talk to you soon.
All right, that's our guy, Neil Greenberg. When we come back, man, buckle up. Johnny.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Damon. B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. We are really fired up right now to get to the BetQL guest line and welcome in Johnny Damon, one of the most iconic baseball players of the last 20 years, 25 years, whatever that time period is. Johnny, what up, man? Thanks
for joining
us.
You're not that old, man.
Hey, B. Mitch. Thanks for having me, guys. You know, I really loved enjoying playing the game, but I know we're going to talk about the trade deadline and how crazy it is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we can, certainly. Were you ever moved at the deadline?
No, I have never been moved at the deadline. I was traded during the offseason from Kansas City to the Oakland A's, and it's a really strange feeling because I just came off of one of the greatest years by a leadoff hitter, and then you end up moving because your team all of a sudden says they can't afford you anymore. You did too good. And it's a crazy business, but that's what's happening.
And, like, when you have friends that are – I'm sure you have friends that were going through it. And, like, for me, I've seen people begin to have that uncertainty where, okay, they're about to move me. And the psyche of a player, you know, a closer or whatever, can it affect them? Because we've seen our closer, who everyone was talking about could get traded, he gave up 5 runs in an inning or something.
Yeah, in less than an inning.
it's a nerve-wracking time. I was never traded during the season, as we mentioned, but I've been around when we made some huge trades that you would never think would happen. Like when I was with the Red Sox in 2004, Nomar Garciaparra has been the man there for 8-9 years. And the day before, we have a day off in Minneapolis. So I take out all the boys on a pontoon boat on Lake Minnetonka, and we're having a blast of not knowing the next day that Nomar is going to be
Dodger, right?
Heading out, yes. So it's a nerve-wracking time, and you do want your teams to be aggressive because you want the ownership to show the fan base and to show the players that we are in it to win it. And then there's always these crazy deals that happen, and sometimes it's not the best players in the league that are being moved, but it's guys that you know is going to fit well in the clubhouse, who's going to bring that extra depth to your team. And so the season definitely is getting very exciting. There's a lot of close races right now. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be very interesting.
Dude, so there's obviously so much for us to talk about, but when B said you were coming on, I was so excited because, I mean, I've watched your entire career. Like, I remember you breaking through with the Royals. That 2000 season is what I think you were mentioning. You hit 330, stole 46 bags, scored 136 times. How the hell were you not an all-star?
Well, you know, fortunately, I got to 2 all-star games, but I feel like I should have minimally being 6 to 7.
That's another one for
maybe
sure.
More. Yeah. but during that time, only every team had to be represented, and sometimes it wasn't the best player on the team. I mean, I had some great players like Mike Sweeney and Jermaine Dye, so I totally get that. But all the teams had to be represented, and there were only 25 guys on the All-Star team back then. So it is what it is. I got to 2 with the Red Sox. I should have been on 3 with the Yankees, but, I mean,
yeah,
who's counting?
Well, dude, so there's a couple moments I got to ask you. We're going to talk A-game. We're going to go long, Landfill. Forgive me. So the ultimate irony, you're too damn good for the Royals. They can't afford to keep you, and they move you to Oakland, the most broke place in the world. And then that team was a freight train that year. You guys fall in the ALCS or DS to the Yankees. What was it like that 1 year with the A's?
Oh, I was taught how to play winning baseball because every time I was in Kansas City, I mean, it was we had a great offense. Pitching wasn't quite there. And then when they split up the offensive guys, the pitching showed up. And it's unfortunate some teams just can't compete with the big dogs like the Yankees or the Red Sox. I know the Dodgers have a lot of money, but I played winning baseball, and like Moneyball worked out very well because you had 3 of the top 10 pitchers in the league. You had Verrazzito, Mark Mulder, and Tim Hudson. So you know they were going to keep the other teams at bay, and all you needed to do was score a couple runs to win a lot of games. And yes, we were the wild card team that year in 2001, but at 102 wins, like the Mariners, who we played very well against that year, they won 116 each of those first year. So it was a great time to learn how to play winning baseball and then just take it over to the Boston Red Sox.
Do you think, Johnny, that speeding up the pitchers and putting them on that pitch clock has helped the hitters out a little bit?
I do think so. I believe the really great pitchers in the game, they already know what they are going to do, how they are going to attack hitters. And so they don't really need that time. But the guys who, like, are just trying to figure out a way to get Mike Judge out. Or not Mike Judge, Mike Trout or Aaron Judge.
Aaron Judge, sure. Yeah.
Because how do you
I guess if they had a kid, it'd be Mike Judge.
Yeah, Mike Judge. He was a butthead.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Beavis and Butthead, too. Going backwards one more time. What was it like being a part of that Red Sox team that finally took out the Yankees?
It was absolutely amazing. I mean, we all became families. We all cared for each other. Like, if somebody failed, somebody was there to pick you up. And we've become a lot closer in the past year, you know, after losing our great Tim Wakefield. You know, the team has rallied together, and we've been doing a lot of great things together. And we will always go down as the greatest comeback ever. And I was just so proud that I was able to bring a nation together, the Red Sox nation together, break a curse of the Bambino, and you know, and we're going to be loved here forever. You know, a lot of them have forgave me for heading to the Yankees, but I know some people will continue to hold a grudge for the rest of their lives.
They got to chill because you got a ring in the Bronx too. That would be my reply.
Absolutely. So only Babe Ruth and I are the only two starters for both teams who have won the championship.
That's
so anytime
crazy.
That's something I never know. That's going to be like, you know, you go, hey, I got it. Who other than Babe Ruth has won for the Yankees and the Red Sox?
And starters. Like, there's some
starters, yeah.
And some guys who were hurt or bench players. But, it's a great company to be a part of, and obviously we know how amazing Babe Ruth was and still is to the game today.
Absolutely. We're talking with Johnny Damon here. What a treat it is to have you on. I have one other question, but I definitely want to hear more about A-Game, your hydration water that you're really trying to kind of change everything for kids, make it something healthy out there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in 2012, it was very hot summer in Central Florida, and these kids were very dehydrated, and there were a number of kids in the South who passed away. And we just want to make sure that we put give the kids a choice for clean ingredients, you know, no artificial flavoring, coloring, no forever chemicals. And so it's out there. It's at Giant. So go take a look at it. You always have to bring your A game. I did when I was a ball player. I know B Mitch for sure. And if you bring your A game at any time, being a parent, being a teacher, I mean, there's no reason to be upset with whatever outcome it is. Just always bring your A game.
Dude, I will check this out because I have two little kids who have been in camps all summers, and it has been so hot that we've been trying to figure out ways to make sure the electrolytes stay up. And there's Giant by me, so I will check this out.
Well, I'm going to go get something because I'm riding 108 miles on a bicycle Friday, Johnny, so I'm going to need my A game.
Absolutely. DrinkAgame.com.
Can you mix it with vodka?
Hey, of course you can. You know, I was thinking about everybody, not just the athletes.
Hey, listen. So JP, when he first heard you were coming on, I'll be honest with you, he's talked a lot about your baseball career.
Johnny Damon was one of my favorite players.
That second. He wanted to know about Below Deck.
I do. I really do.
Oh, Below Deck was very fun. I mean, they keep asking for us to come back.
You should. You guys were awesome on it.
Yeah, well, we have eight kids, and we have to juggle everything in our life. You know, I've been working my tail off for A-game, and we will try to make it back, and we're trying to figure out what friends to take on, like who's going to take all the
B. Mitch and I are available.
And hype. All right, so as long as you guys go on and act like fools, I can relax.
Well, you know what? We got that down, Pat. Yeah. That's our everyday thing. We do that for 4 hours a day.
So we do have a below deck question, and maybe this wouldn't be for you, but like, so I watch it. I'm a Below Deck dork. I own it.
Yeah.
Okay. The tips people leave are so significant, and B thinks that it's fake, that the TV show gives them the money to tip the people. I don't think it is. I don't know what you're allowed to say, but I'm curious. What the deal is.
Yeah, so my wife and I and our friends, we all say we're going to give $5,000 minimum per couple. at the very end, but, you know, it's TV. They can make it look like this person didn't tip a lot, this person. But for the most part, everyone's putting aside $5,000 per couple. So there's four couples. So there's $20,000 that I would say is always going. And we look at them as waitresses and servers. So no tip. Okay. So you don't have to pay taxes on tips. So just right. to let everyone know.
Yeah. It's, you were really good on it. I mean, I remember going to this same little dive bar. You remember that bar, Uncle Jed's Roadhouse, that used to be in Bethesda, right by the old TV station? We used to go there watching every game of that ALCS, Red Sox Yankees. And I remember just that whole series, and it was just so incredible. You seriously, like, changed a generation of baseball fans, man, and I appreciate you coming on the show.
It was absolutely amazing, and, we had a great time. And as I mentioned, our team is a family forever, and I've been fortunate to play for so many great managers out there and so many great teammates. So it was definitely a great 18-year run for me.
All right. Well, other than A game, I'm gonna have me some beer in my my cooler as we ride from ride from DC to Dewey Beach. So we're gonna have A game and beer.
There you go.
All right, I'm going to be there in October. I know Sugar Ray Leonard Jr. is putting on this golf tournament for women's empowerment, and A game is going to be a big sponsor. And as I mentioned, go off to your Giant and check out A-Game. And at least, guys, it's great tasting. So you get everything you need, and it's great tasting, unlike, you know, the other brands out there. But, guys, thank you for having me.
Appreciate thank it, Johnny. You. We Take should care, try brother. To do the show from the golf tournament. We'll stay on top of that. Thank you, Johnny.
Take care.
Hi, bro.
Johnny Damon. How about that? That was awesome. Nobody go anywhere. If you missed any of that Johnny Damon interview, it was awesome. Get back. Odyssey app?
Yeah.
Rewind? Fly around the earth real fast like Superman. Whatever it takes, you should check it out.
Fly backwards?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Run your car in reverse, see if the odometer goes back. I wanted to mention something. You're not familiar with that?
That don't happen, though.
No, it works.
It doesn't.
You never saw Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Yeah, the Ferris Bueller's Day Off is a movie.
Well, it also didn't work at Ferris Bueller's. I think this is a tremendous reference point. Obviously, we're familiar with James Joyce and Ernest Hemingway, right?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, Joyce and Hemingway did a certain amount of drinking together. The author of Ulysses was a thin, wispy, and unmuscled man with defective eyesight. When they were making the rounds of the cafes and Mr. Joyce became embroiled with a brawler, as he frequently did, he would slip behind his hefty companion and cry, "Deal with him, Hemingway, deal with him." To which, for everybody that blasts Twitter or X or social media, you don't get gems like this. This is from Spencer Hall. He said, "This is every 6-6 SEC team's fans with Georgia." Like, nobody loves just pointing at the good teams. I'm a Maryland guy.
Yeah.
Big Ten forever, right?
Huh?
Michigan is good. You know what I mean? Like, it's just so silly. Jeff, do you have SEC coming back up? When is football rocking up in the Southland?
I think they're already back, JP.
Oh, my bad. Are we not all in again?
Nah, I don't know what's going on at Sirius right now. We're all in a world of confusion. Right.
Well, if anybody's paying attention, get Jeff back over there. He does a good job.
Yeah, he does.
And I think Jeff does a good job. Jeff fixed the stream, apparently. All the people
I'm
in the stream.
I always mess with Jeff.
All the people in the stream are giving you
Jeff
love,
Jeff. Jeff is like
the
little brother that I never had.
Guess what I'm doing tonight?
What's that?
Going to the tennis tournament.
I'm supposed to be going tonight, too.
Are you? All right.
To with Mark?
I'm going with Danny. I'm
supposed to be going with Mark.
Well, I'll see you there. It's fun, man. If you've never been.
Well, I'm waiting on my tickets to pop up. Tim, you listening?
Oh. right now we need Sirius to be listening, Tim to be listening. There's a lot to be listening. Yesterday, trade deadline, people trying to figure out winners, losers. I don't think you can really figure that out because some of the biggest winners can be the teams that got these prospects for down the road. There's like the immediacy of it. And then there is, what does it mean 2 years, 5 years from now. To help us kind of make sense of what's going on with the Nats, what's going on with yesterday's a football score. That was the score from yesterday afternoon's Nats game is like a really good defensive team, doesn't have their quarterback, but plays a bad team, and they win 17-0. Like, they shut you out, and the backup quarterback does just enough. The running back grinds out 85 yards, two touchdowns, and it's over. And
everybody they get starts feeling much better about themselves.
Yeah, but nobody. I honestly think Mark Zuckerman has covered every pitch of the Nationals franchise. Nobody has the seniority Mark Zuckerman has when it comes to covering the Washington Nationals. Zuck joins us next from Phoenix, I believe. Nobody go anywhere. If you missed any of that Johnny Damon interview, it was awesome. Get back. Odyssey app?
Yeah.
Rewind? Just fly around the earth real fast like Superman? Whatever it takes, you should check it out.
Fly backwards?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Run your car in reverse, see if the odometer goes back. I wanted to
really
mention something.
That?
You're not familiar with that?
That don't happen, though.
No, it works.
It doesn't.
You never saw Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Yeah, Ferris Bueller's Day Off is a movie.
Well, it also didn't work at Ferris Bueller's. I think this is a tremendous reference point. Obviously, right? We're familiar with James Joyce and Ernest Hemingway, right?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, Joyce and Hemingway did a certain amount of drinking together. The author of Ulysses was a thin, wispy, and unmuscled man with defective eyesight. When they were making the rounds of the cafes and Mr. Joyce became embroiled with a brawler, as he frequently did, he would slip behind his hefty companion and cry, "Deal with him, Hemingway, deal with him." To which, for everybody that blasts Twitter or X or social media, you don't get gems like this. This is from Spencer Hall. He said, "This is every 6-6 SEC team's fans with Georgia." Like, nobody loves just pointing at the good teams. I'm a Maryland guy.
Yeah.
Big Ten forever, right?
Huh?
Michigan is good. You know what I mean? Like, it's just so silly. Jeff, do you have SEC coming back up? When is football rocking up in the Southland?
I think they're already back, JP.
Oh, my bad. Are we not all in again?
Nah, I don't know what's going on at Sirius right now. We're all in a world of confusion.
Right. Well, if anybody's paying attention, get Jeff back over there. He does a good job.
Yeah, he does.
And I think Jeff does a good job. Jeff fixed the stream. Apparently, all the people
I'm
in the stream
always mess with Jeff.
All the people in the stream are giving you
Jeff
love.
Is like
Jeff,
the little brother that I never had.
Guess what I'm doing tonight?
What's that?
Going to the tennis tournament.
I'm supposed to be going tonight, too.
Are you? All right.
To with Mark?
I'm going with Danny.
I'm supposed to be going with Mark.
Well, I'll see you there. It's fun, man. If you've never been.
Well, I'm waiting on my tickets to pop up. Tim, you listening?
Oh. right now we need Sirius to be listening, Tim to be listening. There's a lot to be listening. Yesterday, trade deadline, people trying to figure out winners, losers. I don't think you can really figure that out because some of the biggest winners can be the teams that got these prospects for down the road. There's like the immediacy of it, and then there is what does it mean 2 years, 5 years from now. To help us kind of make sense of what's going on with the Nats, what's going on with yesterday's a football score. That was the score from yesterday afternoon's Nats game is like a really good defensive team, doesn't have their quarterback, but plays a bad team, and they win 17-0. Like, they shut you out, and the backup quarterback does just enough. The running back grinds out 85 yards, two touchdowns, and it's over. And
everybody starts feeling much better about themselves.
But nobody. I honestly think Mark Zuckerman has covered every pitch of the Nationals franchise. Nobody has the seniority Mark Zuckerman has when it comes to covering the Washington Nationals. Zuck joins us next from Phoenix, I believe. Nobody go anywhere.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.